some of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
You know, Rob, it might help if I actually pressed the right button and had us on the, you know, on the speaker thing. So go ahead. I say that, and Rob's connection is not here. Well, welcome, everybody. We are here for Rated LGBT Radio. I'm your host, Garrett Miller, and when the system stops gyrating around here, we're going to have Rob with us. We were just talking right before the show about what a fantastic program we've got today. And Rob, I'm sorry, I had us still on the bat phone secret thing, and then it converted me over right as the show went, and I'm like, how come Rob's not talking? And I realized you're still on the secret thing. So we're going to pretend that the
and
show
I'm sitting
just
there going,
started.
I'm hearing nothing.
I'm hearing nothing.
Testing.
Yeah. So let's pretend for just a second that we just heard the intro. So now I'm going to be quiet and you can introduce everything.
Well, and with Rob Watson, and here we are, and Garrett Miller, and it is LGBT Radio.
Woo! There we go. Okay. So there we go. So now we're all official. So we've got a great show tonight. We are going to be joined here in just a couple of moments by Scott Fullerton, who hosts two podcasts, one on the UBN network called Left of Straight. He also is here on the Blog Talk Network with his program, Left of Straight. I think he's also expanding to a Thursday program where he covers more serious topics. So we're going to be talking to Scott about that in just a couple of moments. In part two of the show tonight, just to let you know, we're going to be honored by having Mr. Greg Archer join the show. And Greg's been on the show in the past on our regular Rated G radio segments as our pop culture expert for over a year. Then he took some time off to go write this best-selling book called Grace Revealed, which talked about his relatives, well, deportation out of Poland during World War II and shipped all over the world. And he just brings the story together beautifully. So Greg did that. And then if he didn't have enough on his plate, he decided that he wanted to do this comedic web series. So he got together with his TV collaborator, Jeff, and they created this web series called The You and the Me's. It debuts this coming Monday, February 8th. And so Greg's going to be calling in at the half hour to tell us about that. So without further ado, as we say here in Radio Land, I want to bring on our first guest star. It's Mr. Scott Fullerton. Scott, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much, Garrett. How are you and Rob doing?
Well, we're good. Rob's doing great because he always sounds sexy. So does with my big boy microphone like Rob has, now do I sound as wonderful as Rob does?
You guys sound abso-frickin-lutely terrific, both of you. You got big boy mics on. Yay.
Okay, yeah, let me cue you on that one, Scott. The answer to that one is absolutely.
Yes. 1,000 times yes.
Yeah. Okay, we're talking about mic envy here. We cannot goof around.
Well, you know, one of the things that you're going to have to do, Scott, is we're going to have to make sure that you get one of these microphones too. So, Rob, thank you for doing all the hard legwork and, you know, testing this out and being the guinea pig the last few weeks, because I appreciate it. And mine just showed up yesterday. And the long and short of this very short story is that I thought I'm going to be really cool and be like a real radio station and, you know, get the big arm with the extending thing and the thing to put in front of the microphone so when I spit, it doesn't, you know, spray. And I couldn't make it work because the thing on the microphone doesn't work with the mic stand hook thing or whatever. So I'm sending pictures to my producer, Brian Pothier, and he says, I think I've got what you need. You need this doohickey thing, and you can have this for free, but you got to come to my show on Thursday night. So as soon as the show's done, I'm going to race out to Long Beach to go see him and Stacy play at Urban Table. They have a monthly gig there. And Brian has promised me the correct little microphone gig thing. But right now, you can see on Facebook, I posted a picture right before the show started. I had to wrap the base of the microphone in bubble wrap, which is really high tech, and put it in there so I can be fancy like Rob tonight.
Yes, well, mine's just sitting there. No doohickeys, no bubble wrap, just
why do production typing while, you know, we're talking to, you know, the guests? And so I'm sitting here writing novels and books and emails and taking transcriptions. So, you know, I needed to have my hands free and not have it, you know, not hear all the typing. Now, of course, after I do all of this, Rob says, I can't hear your typing.
Yeah, couldn't hear it at all. Same. There we go.
And you got the big fancy iMac in the picture and everything, showing off all the fun stuff. You got all the toys now.
I've got all the toys. You even see my little crystal ball in the bottom left-hand corner.
Yes, I can. Yeah. Okay, I do see that.
You're so bright, you're going to have to wear shades.
Nice. I like it.
Well, Rob, you were just on Scott's show earlier this week.
I was. I had a great time.
So tell us what that was like for you.
Well, it was really a good conversation. I hope it was good for you, Scott. It was good for me. We talked some issues. I actually got a little bit fired up on some things, and off we went. And soon, just like you and me, Garrett, the show was over before we knew it. We were like up against the hour right when we still had a lot more to say.
We had so much fun. I mean, it's great. You introduced me to Rob a year ago, and like I said, I've told the story. It's like Garrett knows all these great people, and I'm starting out in radio, not knowing what I'm doing, and I kind of drop the ball and get to talk to Rob. And then all of a sudden, we connect again, and we have the best time on the radio, and we start talking about all sorts of fun things, getting to know each other, and then, of course, we get into all those fun little legislative things that is happening all over the country. Our little hot button hit red really quick.
So what do you guys do? I mean, when you come on to each other's show, you know, because Scott, you're going on to Rob's at some point, and you know, Rob, you've now been on Scott's. What's it like for you going on and not wearing your host hat per se when you're there to, you know, just kind of be, you know, entertainment?
Well,
I personally love it. Oh, go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, since I've been through it, I actually like that because when I'm a host, my head is, you know, onto the next question. You know, it's like I'm have this host duty of, you know, we've got to keep the thing going, and you know, I need to be thinking of the next thing to talk to the guest about. And when I go on as the guest, it's like, yeah, it's his problem.
There you go. I mean, the thing is, like, you guys are both so, and I've learned from you guys, there's a lot of preparation that goes to these radio shows. I mean, we have a lot of fun, and yeah, these people, we have a lot of great people on that have been interviewed in other places, but we're always trying to make a little fun for the guest, trying to make a little fun for the audience. There's a lot of research involved when you're a host, as you guys well know, and what I've learned from you is I do a lot of that research, but when I get to be on someone else's show, then it's like, heavy sigh and get to breathe a bit. It's a little nice.
Well, you know, until they ask you the hard question, and then it's like, uh-oh.
Well, one of the things I notice about both of your shows that I woefully do not do, you both do homework and you both do a lot of research. And unless I've got an author on and I'm trying to read their book before the show, most of the time I just want to have a conversation with people just like we're out having lunch. And that's about as deep as I ever go. So, you know, listening to your show, Scott, and listening to Rob's show, of course, you've got a lot of political folks that are on there. I actually learn a lot on both of your programs, and that's, you know, that's an unpaid solicitation here for listening to Out in Santa Cruz on Saturday nights at 7 or the Left of Straight shows. But it's a different experience than, you know, if I go back and listen to one of these, because, you know, I'm all about the fluff and, you know, the pomp and circumstance of the movie or the CD or the book or whatever like that, not the, you know, serious stuff. So I appreciate the you know, the angle you put on each of your programs.
Well, I wouldn't undermine what you do, Garrett, because you are an entertaining host and you're fun and creative and all that, and that's certainly a value. I just, when I go on to these things and I'm not prepared, it is not nearly as much fun as when I am prepared. And then you have, like, in our second half hour, we have Greg Archer. Well, I had Greg Archer on Out in Santa Cruz talking about his book about getting his family or going back to his family's history in Poland. You cannot fake that. I'm sorry.
No.
You cannot have a guest on like that and fake it. You need to know what you're asking about.
Right. And what I got to comment on you two, I mean, you two are so great at handling the interview, and you guys know all these things that are going on. I'm the kind of person that I talk so fast that if I don't get myself 3 hours worth of questions, I'm going to run out of stuff about 20 minutes into a 30-minute interview. So I have to do all this research, or I'm going to talk myself out of anything interesting to say in about 20 minutes. So I do a lot of little extra research so I have something fun to talk about.
Well, Scott, speaking of you and as our guest, I never found out, what is the history of Left of Straight? Where did you come up with that, and what was your original brainchild around it?
Well, the name has been around for a long time for me. I've used it in social media for a long time, kind of like where everything's just a little left of center, and all my friends, I mean, are you gay? I said, well, I'm not. I'm a little left of straight. Let's put it that way. And that was kind of my calling card when I was first starting to come out in my coming out phases in my mid to late 20s. Or I came out relatively later. And so I would say, are you gay? It's like, well, yeah, I'm left of straight. So I guess you can call it that. So that's kind of been a little nickname of mine for quite a while. And then I just kind of thought it was a fun name to stick. And I thought I'd use it for the radio show because it gives a little bit of allusion to it. But it's also, like I said, I try to have a show like you guys do. Our show is, we are gay people, but that's not what we're all about. So I have a strongly gay audience, but I also reach out to our straight allies as well as both of you do. So that's kind of the original of the name of it. And I just wanted to do something that really had interest to me. At the time, I really was involved in LGBT issues for being a president of a Pride Center for 3 years. I love entertainment. I love listening to music like you do and reading books like Rob does. So entertainment and books, and I'm a chubby guy. I like my food. So Foodies and Food Network, those are my three things to talk about. So I have fun with it.
Well, Garrett and I are both on sort of on opposite ends of the food thing, because he puts together these incredible healthy dishes and puts them all over Facebook. And then, I'm not, I have this thing with my kids. I allow them only one day of junk food a week. And so we've made it kind of an event. We go out to Junk Food Wednesdays. So I'm kind of like, even though it's only one day a week, I've got this reputation as being the junk food guy, and he's the
Here's what you don't see, Rob. You do not see when I go out, because this actually happened this week. I promise you. So my friend Rebecca, of course, she's on the show once a month. She's Rebecca Fisk, intuitive psychic. We're doing some work on a website that I'm doing for her. And she goes, I am starved, because I usually don't eat until it's time for dinner. And that's, 5-6 o'clock right before the show. And if I do eat, it's a plate of vegetables like you usually see, and I blast all over Facebook. And I don't do that to brag or anything else. I really do it to remind myself that I'm eating healthy. It's for me. I'm posting selfishly for me. But when we went out for lunch this week, we walked over to Longboards here in Huntington Beach. And, it's 3 or 4 blocks from the house. And she goes, what are you going to have? And I said, I'm getting a basket of fries. Did you see a picture of that on Facebook, Rob?
I did. I saw it in my tarot cards. I thought, ooh, there's a basket.
It might have been on your tarot cards. It did not make Facebook. So I'm telling you that.
I know, I'm lying.
But I try not to showcase that because, it's the illusion that I'm telling myself is that I'm eating healthfully as much as I possibly can. But I will tell you, I had no guilt in eating those fries at all. Loved every single one of them, and I licked the plate.
Well, why should you? You are full of vegetables. I mean, the vegetables are going to meet the fries and go, we're taking you on through here. We're just going to escort you right on out. Okay, that went a little more graphic than I had intended.
So let's, because we're going to just sit here and chat, and everybody's like, you guys are just like hanging out. And I'm like, well, we are kind of hanging out. But Scott, Tell us about your programs, because you've got two networks that you're on, and you're now expanding into a third night of the week. How did it start for the show? What did you really want to have happen at the beginning, and where is it going?
Well, in the beginning, I started out at a very small radio station here where I'm at in Northeast Ohio. I'm kind of the opposite of most people. I started in California, I was born and raised there, and then moving to small town Ohio. So I've been here now for about 15 years, and I've told the story before, but I was looking for something to do when my dad was a little ill, and I found this really nice small internet radio station in the back of a guy's house. And as a lot of people don't know in internet radio, because we don't want to promote it, but we're usually paying for our own radio shows a lot of the way. That's why we're always looking for great sponsors, like you have your coffee company and so many great places. But when you're first starting out, you're kind of taking care of all this on your own. So I found a nice small little radio station here. It didn't cost that much to be on. Let me have a voice that I was able to create. And it was great, but and you were one of the best helpers in that. Our audio wasn't that great. And I was getting some really good guests on, including yourself, my first couple of weeks. And it was getting a little embarrassing. And I was listening to your show all the time. So I thought, well, it's time for me to, I need to go to the next step. Cause it was for me, it, show was totally for me at first. And just things that I love to talk about. And I just happened to be blessed with some great guests because I just got lucky. So that was fantastic. But then it's like, now I'm starting to do this and people are actually starting to listen. I got to start doing something for the listeners a little more. So I went to Blog Talk and I've told you about my obsession with UBN. You and I both know Tony Sweet and the great operation he has there. And I thought, well, I'll try there just because I know people there and it'd be a little different experience for me. Because as I told you, I think last time, Blog Talk, you've had all this time to master it. It's not hard to do, but you're an engineer basically on your computer. And I wasn't expecting that part of radio. I was expecting just to talk. And UBN came with an engineer. I thought, beauty, that'll work. So that's why I started those two things. And it just really, I've gotten completely so much fun out of doing both networks where I do a little bit myself and I can have that fun kind of learning the business on my own and then being able to use UBN as a polished network that I can really have some fun on as well. So it's been a great experience.
Now, so, tell us a little bit about the new show, Sirius show that you have coming up.
Well, like I said, I started out with this entertainment primarily, then the little foodies and books. It's been a blast. It's been a great time having all these great people. I got to interview Margaret Cho last week. That was like one of my heroes. I've interviewed a lot of great, fun people. I talked to today, I actually had a pre-tape interview with Craig Ramsey and Brandon Liberati, who are on the Newlywed Show on Bravo right now. Fantastic couple that are representing the community so well on Bravo right now with a lot of real issues. So that's been a lot of fun. But going back, Pride Center days, one of my things was I always wanted to try to do what's right for the community and kind of spotlight some things for the community. And it's very hard. I've addressed a couple of serious issues, even though Rob and I even talked about some serious issues on my show. It's hard to book in that with the comic of the week or the movie star. It just doesn't kind of have a good juxtaposition there. So I have a great friend of the station, Kevin Hogan, who, if you haven't heard of him before, he's a gentleman lives up in Boston. He was a teacher in Boston high school, was accosted on Thanksgiving evening by a photojournalism from Fox News that outed him to his wife shopping about his gay porn past. Now, he was bisexual. His wife was bisexual. They both knew about all this, but it came out in their hometown of Boston as the porno teacher, high school teacher. So he kind of lived through all that, and he has taken all that bad energy that happened back 4 years ago and turned this into this fantastic program called Healing Stigma. And he has a website called healingstigma.com. He does one-day workshops, and he really does a lot on people overcoming bad things that have happened to him. So I was talking to him one day. He's been a guest a couple of times. I thought, wouldn't it be great if we can do another radio show that we got to tackle some of these heavier issues, things like sexual abuse, things like homelessness, things like obesity, things that aren't really talked about but happen in the LGBT community and in the straight community, and just kind of find either people that have gone through it and tell about their story and how they've gone through it, use Kevin's ability to really turn it around and help heal people and all the network he's created of these great people that heal these things, and turn into a good night, an hour show of some hopefully throwing out some positivity in the world. So that's where it came about. I have a great co-host for it, and I'm really looking forward to starting that on Thursday, February 18th.
Can't wait. That sounds just absolutely fantastic.
It's going to be fun. It's a lot different than what I'm doing now. So it's something that lets me give back. I mean, I get to have a lot of fun with my other two shows. I love talking to all of these celebrities and people like yourselves and people that are just do a lot of fun things in our community. But I'd really like to be able to have a chance to give back and to have some teachable moments and really some help some people down the line. And hopefully this show will do that.
So do you have like a list of your top, 10 next episodes for that particular thing? So I know, you've mentioned the homelessness and bullying and things like that, but do you have an end game in sight with that? Or will you be doing like a multi-part series? I mean, because you have an open book on how you can do that.
Exactly. We're really creating the format now, and Kevin's been so helpful with that. We're going to do pretty much four unrelated different topics the first month just to get people kind of tuning in. And then we're going to kind of do, like you said, Gary, we're going to kind of try to find a way to work maybe one angle for an entire month and give three different ways to go into it. The first couple ways, and the last week, maybe do a total call-in show where you can call in and talk about your problems or ask for, have an expert on that show that'll give some great advice to have, almost like a Dr. Drew Light type thing, where we can have different angles of different of a subject for 3 weeks, and the fourth week, let's hear from you. What have you experienced, and how have you dealt with it? So that's the format we're going to probably go to near the end. We've got some great guests already. There's a young lady, and I got to put down her name here real quick. I'm probably going to mess this up. Give me 1 second.
You have the Jeopardy theme song ready, Rob?
I know. This is terrible. It's like, I'm so organized for this. But yeah, no, we have our first episode is going to be about mental health. And we have this young singer, and I can't remember her name, a great young lady that is a singer-songwriter, and she is actually composing a musical right now based around mental health. It's been a passion issue of hers for a long time. We have Eliel Cruz, who's a huge advocate in the bisexual community. He writes for The Advocate and a bunch of – he's coming in March to talk about some different bisexual issues and how people can't seem to think that that's a real thing. And some of the stigma that goes along with self-identifying and different, we're going to talk about identifying in the different areas of the LGBTQIA LMNOP community. We're going to deal with that. So it's going to be the first four episodes will be a little disparate just to get people to know what kind of where we're going. And then we'll probably get into your idea. Like you said, Garrett, we've kind of brainstormed into trying to coalesce around one idea a month, probably.
See, that's great. So Scott, who is on your wish list? Like the big dream guests you would love to get on, like Left of Straight or Healing Stigma. Who do you dream about at night?
Oh man, I'm trying right now, and I'm in the second ring of hell, trying to get in. Elton John is coming and performing for the third time in our little community, and so he's coming into town. The first time he came into town as a president of Pride Center, I actually got backstage passes and got to meet him, but that was really it through just a fundraising thing. He's coming in for the third time, and now that I'm a radio host, quote unquote, I'm trying to go into all the channels to try to get him on the show. He would be my huge dream get right now. Because that's the one thing that I've done. I mean, I've got some amazing guests, including you, but it's all been through just I'm fearless in asking people, and a lot of people will say yes, so it's kind of amazing. Yeah, Margaret Cho was a huge guest for me. I've gotten very lucky. I guess Elton John's probably my biggest guest. I'd really love to get Rosie O'Donnell on soon. She'd be on next one, too. I like her a lot.
Now, Rosie would be fascinating right now because of that whole thing that she went through with Trump. And, you know, she's been completely quiet through his whole campaign. It would be you could probably hit some headlines with her.
Right. And like I said, and I actually had her son on the show because we had talked on social media and I wanted kind of his idea as a son of, I did it during National Coming Out Week back in October. And I wanted his point of view, having two moms and something like that. So we had a great interview. He's a great guy. So I'm kind of hoping I can give him a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge and say, hey, would you mind talking to mom for me and see what we can do? But she's fantastic. I would like to have her on. She's controversial in a lot of ways, but I really adore her. So.
Yeah. Could you slip her a note during breakfast?
Exactly.
You know, she is a big fan, though, of alternate forms of radio. Even on the Sirius XM, you know, she would call into the various shows all the time, you know, while taking her kids to school and sitting in the, you know, the parents' drop-off lane or whatever. She'd dial up this show or that show and chat with the hosts. And so, Scott, it will not surprise me when you announce, you know, very shortly, oh, by the way, Rosie O'Donnell's coming on.
From your lips, there you go. Her and Elton John will be my two big gets I'm going after. But I have some great people coming on. I mean, I'm lucky where I get a lot of great ideas from you and everything. You've introduced me to a lot of people. I'm going to have Greg and Jeff on eventually. I have Ben Farmer on, who's in New York. He was in a excellent movie a little while back about Mormons, two Mormons falling in love. Josh Shabar has written that book, Porn Again in L.A. He's fantastic. Jasper Cole, Levi Christ, who has great albums, been all over Broadway, and he's coming on pretty soon. I have the wonderful, and I don't know if you've heard of him, this guy, he goes by Blonde Jesus. He's a singer. He's coming on February 29th.
Best singer ever.
February 29th. I won't be able to get anyone else on that date for four more years, and I'm getting Garrett Miller to come on my show February 29th.
That is a world exclusive.
That's almost a little bit like Brigadoon. Like, you know, it's like you appear once every 4 years and then, you know, disappear into the mist.
Exactly,
so
right?
Don't do that. Don't disappear. I'm just, you know.
You know, like I was telling Scott, everything that Blonde Jesus does, Blonde Jesus needs to be special. So we might as well do it on Leap Year.
Exactly. That's what I'm screaming.
You guys are a hoot.
You know, I have a wish guest for you for healing stigma, actually, that I would put on your list for that one. And this is going to sound a little surprising, but she did a TED Talk that blew my socks off, and that was Monica Lewinsky.
Really? Wow. Okay. I've heard that she actually did a very good talk. That's interesting that you say that. Tell me a little bit more about that.
It was brilliant. It was just right out there.
Why?
And I mean, talk about somebody who had to live down stigma.
That's a great idea for a guest.
We're not on a TED Talk, though. What was about her presentation just really knocked your socks off, Rob?
She was very forthright about just the how the whole thing took her by surprise and, you know, the real destructiveness of social media, which was not really even a thing then, but she was kind of the first to get completely bashed and crucified via what was then the social media infrastructure at the time. And she just talked about it forthrightly and what, you know, how to maintain dignity through it all. And, you know, it was just, you just were completely on her side. I mean, it was just an amazing discussion of a unique experience that, you know, none of us actually have ever had that she in history. And it was just fascinating.
So this
That'd
proves
be very
why
cool.
you're, this is why you're deep, Rob. I would go, you know, can we just talk about, you know, your purse line or the blue dress? And here you are wanting to get all social media and, you know, introspective.
Well, that part was her. I'm not making that part up. She did that. She, you know, and maybe that was kind of it, was this talk was so classy and sophisticated and deep and, you know, moving. And it was not salacious, which, you know, is part of the thing. That was part of the stigma she had to rise above, was not being just a salacious joke.
Well,
that,
you know,
would be definitely interesting.
Got advanced degree. She comes from a good family. And, you know, let's face it, take the office of the president out of it, but who hasn't been involved in maybe a particular situation that you might not necessarily have wanted to have go public or not necessarily be proud of, but you go on to lead a very distinguished and honored life. So it's not surprising that she comes off as polished as she does.
Yeah.
Very true.
Anyway, so guess what? We've got a minute left before we got to kick Scott to the curb. Scott, with a minute left, tell us where you want people to stalk you on social media. Where do you want your fans to find you? And leave us with a lasting thought of the night.
Oh, my goodness. So deep. Well, I hope everyone will go to my website. It's www.leftofstraight.com, which is LEFTOFSTR and the number 8.com. You'll be able to find all my archived episodes on there. It'll give you all the links to the social media. I'm on the Facebook and the Instagram and the Twitter, as us old parts say. You can find everything over there. Listen to me on Mondays and Tuesdays live if you can, but you can always listen to the archives on the website. As far as deep and insightful, presidential year, I hope everyone will get out and vote. That's my important thing for the evening. It's a crucial year, and I try not to hit that third rail my radio show too much, but as a guest, I'll say, let's get out the vote.
There we go. And everybody, it's been Mr. Scott Fullerton. Check him out on Left of Straight, Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays. And, you know, pretty soon it's going to be like a Howard Stern. You're on every hour of the day. We're going to be back with Mr. Greg Archer in just a couple of moments. Here's a little sponsorship from our friends at Rainbow Brew. I say that. I press the button. Come on. It's going
to
go.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM 950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
The buttons here on the studio, they are working, but then they go into like the spin-a-rooney mode where they're like, yeah, we're going to get to it. When we get to it, stop your hurrying. We shouldn't be in a rush. That's just kind of the nature of the game. That's how the show started when I had Rob on the secret bat phone before the show started. We're having a chit chat talking about how sexy our voices are with our new big boy microphones and making sure the volumes are adjusted and all that good stuff. And the show starts and, you know, it brings me on and it leaves Rob hanging in the lurches. And I'm like, what the heck? Where's Rob? He's doing the intro and there's nothing coming out of his mouth.
Well, it was even scarier where I was, believe me.
It's like, there's nothing, you know, it's like being in a big, dark, you know, cavern or something. Like, it is like the Bat Cave at that point.
Hello.
So we're going to bring on a guest here right now. His name is Mr. Greg Archer. Greg has been a guest here on this show many times. He's been an honored contributor as the pop culture guru for over a year before going off to write Grace Revealed, a very successful novel about his family's extradition from Poland during World War II and how the families all come together. He then went off to create this web series. The man never sleeps, I'm convinced of it. He's written a web series with his professional partner. We're going to be like on Dancing with the Stars. With their professional partner. You know, like they think, you know, they're going home together. They're dancing together on Dancing with the Stars, for goodness sake. But Greg and Jeff have created the series that debuts on February 8th, this coming Monday. It's called The You and the Me. It's my pleasure to welcome Greg back to the show. Greg, how are you, my friend?
I'm pretty good. I'm awesome. It's great to be on the show. Thank you. Thanks. Good to hear your voice.
Hey, Greg.
Yours. And I didn't know you and Rob knew each other.
Yeah, Greg has been on my show out in Santa Cruz as well.
Yes. Rob is amazing. Amazing. It's good to hear your voice, too. You both do sound rather big boy sexy, so congratulations.
Good. We need to do big boy sexy here, you know?
We're trying. Yeah,
we're trying.
Actually, I know so many Greg Archers. I know Greg Archer was a major editor in Santa Cruz. Greg Archer served with me on Santa Cruz A's Project Board of Directors.
He
was a guest on my show. It's like you're like nine lives all at once.
Yeah, there are many people inside of me. It's very, very fascinating. Very fascinating. you got to, you know, live life. You know, it's a big juicy peach. Bite into it, right?
Holy cow.
And
now
we didn't
like totally
even mention your other book that you did before Grace.
Oh, yes. The
Shut Up, Skinny Bitch.
The health and wellness book I co-wrote with a longtime colleague and actually childhood friend. Yeah.
And that's actually how I got Greg on the show for the first time. I said, can you come on and talk about your book? So he did. And then he was on the show and I said, there's somebody I've got to be friends with because he's just too cool for school.
You are too kind.
One of the things, there's a lot I love about the book Grace that you wrote, but in it, you also kind of give some of your own secret tips about interviewing people. So I was like, "Ooh, that's a good one. Ooh, that's a good one." You know, it's like, you know, the secret question you ask them to open them up.
Come to the workshop. I'm going to do a workshop in Maui at some point. Anyway, I'm kidding. But it's good to be on. It's good to talk to you guys, and it's good to you know, talk about the web series that I co-created with the amazing Jeff Donnell, who is quite an extraordinary creative creature. I'm sure you'll both get to know him a little more in the coming months. He's really quite extraordinary, and we're excited about this web series. Yeah.
It looks hilarious. I hope it's supposed to be hilarious, because it looks hilarious.
It is hilarious. Thank you. I'm glad it looks hilarious. We posted the trailer, and there were 10 episodes in the first season. Second season's already mapped out, and so far we've been getting some really good buzz on it, and that makes me happy. That makes both of us happy. So I'm really glad about that. I think it's been interesting to watch the evolution of it. It really kind of all started when Jeff and I used to go out and cover events, like red carpet events or Cirque du Soleil events and things like that. And he was behind the camera and did a lot of the editing, and I was with the microphone and whatever. And inevitably, either before or after, we would grab some drinks and just kind of chat and just kind of start talking. And our conversations, we both noticed, had sort of an interesting. We sort of became a little more. I don't know if it was a liquor. I don't know if it was because we were really good friends or whatever. But our conversations kind of had a more animated resonance, I would say. And I kept pressing record on my voice memos because there was something there. There was something more than just like average conversations. It was like we were creating something without even knowing it. And so after about a year of that, transcribed all of the voice memos, and we thought we'd create a regular series and sort of pitch it as that. And then life and time and then this kooky book about Stalin and my family kind of came in, and things just started getting really pushed back. So last year we decided, well, why don't we think about a web series? I mean, it's sort of the thing now anyway. And so that's really what we've been doing the last year is developing into that. And that's been pretty brilliant with a lot of the writing and a lot of, taking what we've already talked about and weaving it into scripts and doing a lot of editing. He's quite a master. So I think it really is a neat illustration of the unlikely friendship between two gay men, one a spiritual junkie and one an atheist, who you would never think would kind of connect and bond, but somehow from two very opposing viewpoints in their lives, two people who live existence very differently or view existence very differently, somehow find a way to resonate in this sort of luscious middle ground of life. So, and plus it pokes fun at, everything from pop culture to, gays in West Hollywood to all of us, I think, trying to reach for something outside of us to give us a clue of how to keep moving forward. So yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, no, it struck me as sort of a philosophical odd couple for the new millennium. And I was like,
I like that. Can we quote that?
Oh, absolutely.
We'll take it. Thank you, Rob.
Yeah, you can put it up as like one of those quotes of the reviewers, It is
right.
The philosophical odd couple of the new millennium. Quote Rob Watson, radio host. There you go.
Right, exactly.
So,
yeah.
So Greg, what's involved in filming a web series, and how is it different from any other regular TV, if there's anything such as regular today, but how is it different from filming a regular program that people might be watching either on YouTube or Hulu, Netflix, on network?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, a lot of web series these days are like regular series that you see. I mean, there's a lot of them now have like really great production value. There was this one by Angela Dee that I reviewed. She's amazing. You should look her up. Rack and Ruin. I wrote about her. And it was about, the sort of fish out of water entering the fashion industry. And hers was, I mean, she really raised money, lots of money to get, good production value and have it shot. And just as if you would see a regular series on Hulu or Amazon or whatever, or even cable. For us, we just we took sort of the grassroots approach, and we thought, for this particular thing, I think because in this day and age everyone has such a relationship with screens, why not do it from two people who are Skyping each other or FaceTiming each other, who are in different cities, and especially the character Greg, who is both of the characters are loosely based on us. Some of them not so loosely, but we FaceTime with each other, and so basically how this works is we kind of tape that, and then it's all kind of edited together after that.
And well, how long are the episodes? Are the episodes when we're going to see them starting on the 8th?
Yeah, the episodes range from like anywhere from 6 to 10 minutes, and I also should say that it's modeled. The series is really modeled after Lisa Kudrow's Web Therapy, and after anyone, which was pretty successful. It was pretty successful for some time. It was not renewed. Showtime did not renew it after I think what five or six seasons. But we kind of I think because of everyone having a nice relationship with their screens and that, and also that kind of concept kind of intrigued us too. So sort of took the baton from Web Therapy and kind of made it into some kind of fun, outrageous, hopefully outrageous and fun and engaging LGBTQ-themed web series. But most of the episodes are like from 6 to 10 minutes, I would say. Yeah, and the story arc is pretty fun. Greg, spiritual junkie, gets assigned to work with Jeff, an atheist, and they reconnect, and things sort of unravel from there. Jeff's very resistant, because he doesn't believe in science, why should we work together? But Greg's very insistent, and so it kind of snowballs from there. Yeah.
You have some really intriguing other characters in there too, the side characters that are sitting with you guys on the screen to screen stuff. Where did those ideas come from, and who are those folks?
Those folks, a lot of them actually, I believe, at least two or three of them, are folks that Jeff knew from Second City in L.A. And as we developed at least the first season, we were thinking of, who would be, what kind of characters would also, because, you do so much with like one-on-one, but what other characters could come in and sort of enhance, this sort of kind of crazy idea that, Greg and Jeff are supposed to be working together or creating something together when it just seems highly unlikely that that could ever really work. And so those folks, a lot of Jeff's colleagues from Second City, and they're great. And a few of them actually have had amazing work on television too. So, they're really, and I did not study acting. I've been mostly behind, the screen of a computer until I've been started, interviewing people on, for different, Hollywood things or entertainment things, and it's been very amazing to work alongside folks who are like really that's their craft and that's what they're doing for their living. I kind of bow down to them. It's an amazing practice to really watch. Acting is hard. It's hard. It's challenging.
Well, you wouldn't know it because you guys are so natural at it, and it's so funny. I mean, it's really, really engaging. I've watched the trailer like three times just because I didn't want to miss anything and went back to catch things. Do you have it completely unscripted and go off the top of your heads, or do you plan out what you're going to do? How does it come about?
You mean for each episode?
Right.
Yeah, well, each episode is crafted from the original conversations that Jeff and I had, and then we sort of, you know, mostly Jeff, I would say he took those, you know, transcriptions and then really wove together and created this, you know, 10 episode arc. And so what you have in this 10 episode arc, you know, we go by this script. Of course, there's some improvisation, but it's really kind of, we go by the script. And then to go back to your earlier question, you know, some of the characters, I mean, there's a character like Helena Aurora, who's like this pyramidologist who kind of, you know, channels energy by having a pyramid on her head. And then there's a character that we call Demonious Gay / Douglas, who, you know, drinks kombucha, makes his own deodorant, and wears like really nice sweaters and, you know, very pure. Kind of pokes fun at a lot of people. You know, then there's a character named Terrell who is, you know, this sort of gay, very Christian guy, and it's sort of kind of extreme. And but these are all kind of composite people that we've met in our lives. So, I would see nothing wrong with going to a pyramidologist. In fact, I'm visiting Santa Fe right now, and I think I might go to a gong bath tomorrow. So you see, this is not that far off from the truth, truthfully. But so they're all, it's been really, really fun. I think folks will really, I think you don't have to be gay to appreciate what you'd be seeing here, because I think that there's something about, I think in this kind of kooky life, especially if you're a creative person, you're kind of looking for meaning and something deeper, you're kind of, I think we're all kind of looking for quote unquote a sign to kind of show us the way. And I think a lot of people might be able to connect and resonate with the universal themes that are in here, which we kind of really exaggerate. But I'm looking forward to hearing more feedback once the episodes, you know, become live and people are watching them. And so far we've gotten really great feedback from different press outlets and things like that. So that's good.
And so, hey, Greg, I got a question.
Bill, go ahead.
And here's the business part of this that I'm always intrigued with. How did you raise the money to put the production together? And, I mean, how many favors did you have to call in and say, we promise you great stardom and a, you know, star on the Walk of Fame, but you got to work for free?
I think all of it really was favors, truthfully. I mean, the kindness of these creative people's hearts to join in on something that they really wouldn't know. I mean, my sense is, I mean, I always felt like there was something there. I mean, you can always sense when there's something vibrant creatively going on. I mean, so my sense was there, I think Jeff obviously sensed it too, but all the people that were in this, you know, did it for free. Jeff, you know, has a full-time job in West Hollywood, you know, painlessly edited things way into the night to make these episodes really sharp and funky and precision, and especially the trailer and another preview clip. So this is really kind of, you know, like, you know, kind of grassroots type of thing. Our goal is to get it in front of the right audiences, and especially some of the right producers or production companies who feel, I think, what we feel, which, you know, there's something more to this than just the type of web series that we're seeing in this initial form. I definitely see it as, you know, it, given more money and more production value, work quality, you know, it could be, I think a production company could, like, scoop it up and say, yeah, okay, let's develop this. And let's see where we can go for several seasons with it, especially since we have, you know, the second season outlined and we're kind of going forward full steam. So so it's really kind of a fun little grassroots creative endeavor to see where it takes, sort of like that little train that could and will and would and did, you know, that type of thing. I have a good feeling about it. Yeah, I have a really good feeling about it. So, you know, we can only kind of show up, be present, create, and put it out there. As you both know, you're both creative people, and, you know, sometimes the kookiest things, kind of kookiest but yet kind of meaningful things get picked up or mm-hmm. create or get attention that you wouldn't think. I think it's going to be an interesting ride to see what happens next with it.
So I was listening to another show today on the Sirius XM, and I hate to keep plugging them, but that's what I listen to. So I always quote the source. And they were talking about the fact that a lot of web series now are really thought of as the pilot episode, hoping that, you know, the right eyes are going to look on that and say, okay, we're going to get you on NBC next year, and here's, you know, $10 trillion. Does any of that kind of go through your head as you went through season one, or are you just really looking at it as like, here's this creative story we got to do, and we've just got to get it out there?
Well, absolutely. I mean, our initial thought was to create a pilot episode, you know, long before the web series thing came up. We thought we'd create a pilot episode and then, you know, pitch it. And then somehow with, you know, my connections or whatever, or our connections, or somehow, you know, get it to the right production company, producer, whatever, and have it, you know, go from there. But now that it's in this form, I think it's, at least producers or folks that are optioning series and whatever can take a look at it and go, okay, well, there's something developed here. But you're right. I think these are templates. These are sort of advanced query letters, for lack of a better word. You know, like, you know, when writers send out query letters to agents or publishers, it's like, show us a little bit, a piece of what you got, and you send in a sample of your work. And this, now this work is live and people can see it and go, okay, I see really good potential in this, hopefully, and, you know, for us. So they are great templates for like a pilot and things that can move forward from there. So, you know, fingers crossed with this.
It's really
right
neat.
On. Rob,
and on the show, you guys have such a good sense of humor about yourselves. Was there ever a point where you and Jeff got into a real heated argument philosophically that was lock and horn?
You mean like in real life?
In real life, and inspiration for one upcoming episode, maybe.
I always typically tease Jeff. I don't know. I don't think we got in any heated arguments, but I'd say that we've had many. I think we've had disagreements from how we view certain things in life. But I think what's amazing in that is that we still have kind of this really cool core friendship, and it doesn't matter, you know, if I'm this kind of sign-seeking, kooky, blonde Polish person who loves when street lamps go off above his head, and I see the number 1111 and I make a wish, and I see a bumper sticker or a license plate, and I say, oh, my God, that's a sign from the universe. And Jeff is, like, completely the opposite of that. But I totally respect that, and I actually admire it, and I actually can learn something from that because – you know, he's very pragmatic and he's very rational, and he's sort of like the Bill Maher I'd kind of like to be, but I'm too the other way. So I don't know. But that's, again, like this whole kind of luscious middle ground where you can kind of learn things from one another. So I don't think we've ever had any heated arguments. We had disagreements, though, but that's okay. And I think it has sparked us on. You know, like sometimes I start texting, we text each other, and it's like, oh, my gosh, this is great dialogue, you know, and it's all – like, you know, like disagreements over something. So,
well, it's very, it is so engaging. I think it's going to do really, really great.
So, Greg, as we're wrapping up our time together, I'm going to hate to kick you to the curb like we got to do, but Rob and I've got stuff we got to gossip about for a couple of minutes. Where are people going to find your new web series, The You and the Me, on Monday?
Yeah, thanks. Well, they can go to The You and the Me. .com, number one, and there's, you know, the episodes will be there. We have a YouTube channel, The You and the Me. Even if they go to the website, they can click the YouTube channel or the Facebook page. So all three of those places, the You and the Me.com, we have a You and the Me YouTube page and You and the Me Facebook page. But I think if they go, you know, if anything else, if they go to the website, they can see it there, and then they can, you know, even click on their YouTube channel too, because they'll probably have extra things on the YouTube channel. And also the Facebook page will always have updates and things like that as well.
Cool. Rob, any last question for Greg?
No, just, is there any new book in the horizon?
Yeah, I actually am writing a book. It's called No Place Like Home with a K, with a, like K-N-O-W. There's a
very smart
subtitle underneath. It's all about home and place. You know, what is it why do we need it? And I think it really kind of encompasses the last few years of my life where, you know, I've been kind of very nomadic as I've been writing about homeless Polish people, which I find, you know, the irony, it cannot be just a coincidence. So, but mostly takes place on Maui and another memoir type of thing. And, yeah, it's going to be good, I think. Feeling good. So,
looking forward to it.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks for having me on and Jeff on in spirit. He is there.
Right on. Greg, thanks very much. When you have your new book out, of course, you're going to have to come back to both of the shows out in Santa Cruz and, of course, Rated LGBT Radio. Thanks for being here tonight. We'll catch up with you soon. I'll see you on the Facebook.
All right. Be well, both of you. Take care. Thank you.
Take it easy, Greg.
Thanks, Greg. So, Mr. Rob, with about 4 minutes left, tell us what's going on in your world of everything.
Well, one thing that I'm very excited about, and I know you're going to be excited about too, is I have a very special guest coming on out in Santa Cruz on February 13th, the day before Valentine's Day.
Woo!
And that will be none other than Ms. Sheena Metal.
Sheena, you are going to love Sheena Metal like no other. She's so authentic and thought-provoking and interesting and such a beautiful person on the inside and out. I think that both you and your listeners are really in for a treat.
I think so too. And we're going to talk about Valentine's Day from those of us who are not in the romantic cycle right now and how to be self-romantic and self-empowering on Valentine's Day.
That's a great topic.
Well, it's both my co-host and I are in that position, so it sort of just came out.
Okay, well, that'll be interesting. You know, and can I'm not naming names or anything, but I might actually have a date for the first time in about 3,000 years on Valentine's Day this year. So I'm not sure if it's a date or if it's a networking date, but either way, I've been invited out. So we're going to see how that plays out.
Very nice. Well, we wish you the best, and he's a lucky man.
Well, yeah, we'll see. You know, don't be thrown around in platitudes so easily. We'll wait and see how this all plays out. But, so what about any new articles? You've got things like that we need to be on the lookout for?
Well, yeah, I had one out, and it's funny, I forgot I didn't talk about it on our show because I talked about it on Left of Straight, but I had an article out on the Goodman Project about a horrible bill in Oklahoma, of which there are several, and I only talked about one of the horrible bills, which is protecting ex-gay therapy, reparative therapy for young people, including protecting the idea that they can be put through vomit therapy, aversion therapy, electroshock, all these things. Somebody in Oklahoma is trying to protect that practice.
That is
which
crazy.
Is absolutely unthinkable.
I don't understand that at all. Well, I mean, yeah. We live in such a different world, and I'm so grateful for the community and where I live and just the people that surround me. I just don't understand how, in this day and age, we have anybody that would think that that's okay.
And that's part of the point, is that there are places in our country that are not the world you and I live in, because it's happening, and that's why I think we have to speak out about it, because we have the voice, and you know, there are people in that community who don't feel like they can stand up for themselves.
Mm. Well, I'm glad you're raising the flag for everybody, Rob. I appreciate it very much. We've got about 90 seconds left, so I'm going to do our little promotion for the Friday Night Dance Party. Rob, as always, it's a pleasure. Next Thursday on Rated LGBT Radio, we have Mr. Terry Ray. He's coming on to talk about his web series called My Sister Is So Gay, which stars both him and Lonnie Anderson from WKRP. In Cincinnati. So, of course, tune in next Thursday for Mr. Terry Ray. Tomorrow on the Friday Dance Party, I have the Ron Retzer Trio out of Ohio in hour number one. They're going to be talking about their brand new Christian album. I guess they call it an album. I have their CD, but it's called Being Happy. So we're going to have Jennifer Galonia, and she'll be talking about that. That's in hour number one. And then hour number two, we've got disco diva Miss Cynthia Manley. You know her from Ain't No Mountain High Enough to Everybody Dance and a trillion other hits. We had to limit it down to like 6 songs, and I think her and her assistant were having their hair pull out just because they didn't know what to send over. I said, send whatever you want because it's all going to be fantastic. But Cynthia Manley is going to join me in hour number two. I never do an hour two guest in the Friday Night Dance Party, but like Rated LGBT Radio, We got guests. Let's put them on the air. So Cynthia's going to be talking about her February 14th appearance at Rage in West Hollywood. She's going to be doing a special appearance there. And, of course, as we always say, thank you for being part of Rated LGBT Radio. We will see you live on the Friday Dance Party, live at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And don't drive distracted. Rob, thank you very much. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.
Yay!